Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Monday, May 6th. Hope everybody had a fun Cinco de Mayo yesterday. This weekend was a what they call a marathon weekend of racing out of Talladega, as both events were rain delayed. Of course, the nationwide race was rain delayed for 3 hours prior to the start. Cup race was rain delayed for a few hours in the middle. They got managed to get the whole race in, and then, of course, in the nationwide race was shortened by 10 laps at the end. Was darkness was creeping in. Today we're going to be joined by Miss Sprint Cup, Brooke Werner, and have Tristan Vautier of the Izod IndyCar Series, who competed in São Paulo, Brazil. So let's bring to the show my very special guest, Miss Sprint Cup, Brooke Werner. Brooke. Hello. Hi. Hello. If you can hear me, we're trying to sync in with Brooke Werner. This is good. Can anybody hear me out there? Give me a call at 646-649-1899. Hello, Brooke.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, good. A little technical difficulty. I think you had my cell phone. Hopefully this is yours. I ought to keep it on file for future.
Yes, this is mine. You know, we're just catching up on our cell phones, right?
Yeah. Well, it's great to finally meet you in Richmond.
I know, that really was so special, and that entire weekend was a lot of fun. How did you enjoy yourself?
Well, Saturday was a fun. Well, Friday, it was Friday. I get confused on Saturday night races. I'm sorry. I got in town Thursday afternoon, and it was a little late to get to the track, so I figured Friday morning I'd get down there early, get all my stuff, and first time I ever been down there, so I didn't know where I was going. Fortunately, at one of the gates I pulled up to, out was coming out to head to their vehicle was the PR director, Amy Turner.
And oh, no kidding.
And if it wasn't for her Facebook picture, I wouldn't have known who she was.
I know, you can run into literally anyone on race day, especially on a long day like that when everyone's out and about.
Yeah, and I did wanted to get there in plenty of time to catch up with you and Kim, because I asked who was going to be up there. I posted on the Miss Sprint Cup Facebook page of who was going to be there, and you had gotten back to me saying it was going to be you and her. I figured, oh, great. Get to meet both Miss Sprint Cups that have been on the show that I haven't met yet.
So, now tell me, that was your first time, of course, checking out the track, and that was your first time at the Sprint Unlimited experience as well?
Yeah, that was my first time there, and it seems like every year that exhibit gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It used to be one trailer. Now it's three, and you got your own little compound there.
I know, and we have so much going on, too. And, I mean, you experienced it yourself. You've got the racing simulators. You've got the trophy, the Sprint Cup Series trophy. Did you sign up for the Sprint Ultimate Fan Cave?
No, I didn't. I knew when I first got there, Kim was working the crowd, and they were talking about the strongman competition coming up. And I thought about getting into that, my wife, but you didn't want to hurt yourself.
Oh, I would have. You totally should have gotten on stage. You probably would have won the whole thing.
And
next time we're gonna pull you up on the stage and you're gonna do the strongman competition. I have a good feeling you could win that whole thing.
What's involved in that strongman competition? I'll be 55 this year. I don't want to hurt myself.
It's so easy. All you have to do is stick one arm out and. You just have to make sure that your bag and your arm stays at the longest as we fill it up with recycled foam. Sounds pretty easy, right? And if you win it, you get a free Sprint phone.
Wow, that does sound pretty easy.
I know. So next time I see you in the crowd, I'm not letting you get away that easy. We're going to bring you up on stage, and I'm going to challenge you. Maybe I'll go against you. How does that sound?
Well, see, being the gentleman I am, I'd have to let you win.
Oh, no, you have to give it your all. You can't just be a gentleman.
Well, I'll give it my all, but I don't know what the next race I'm going to get to is. I'm going to shoot for one of them, hopefully by the end of the year. If not, I have to come back next year.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
I was going to say that was my first night race as well. And I think if you're going to go to one race a year, that was probably one of the best races to go to. Because it's an all-day event, and then those lights come out, we get racing, and it's exciting. And you go home and you think, wow, I really got my dollar's worth. I really got my weekend out of it.
Yeah, that's for sure. I know there's another night race at Bristol this coming August, and that's going to be and the way it's set up there, the track seems... like out of Richmond, the midway is on ground level. But if you go to Bristol, the midway's here. Then you got to go up this long ramp, and then you got to come back down into the. So it looks like you got to climb up the mountain to get to the track, and then you climb down the mountain to get into your seat.
I know, it's a little bit of a workout, but it's worth it.
It's a real workout. And last time I went as a fan, and I'm still toting stuff around. It's just my handy-dandy little microphone and tape recorder there, my digital recorder. I was pretty worn out by the time the end of the night was, and then the drive all the way home, which for me is like 90 miles from there.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't
bit of a
bad.
Haul. Now, I have to ask, do you always go to these races as, you know, a working guy, or do you ever go as a fan?
Well, the Bristol one, I just moved to the area. It was always on the bucket list to go. Well, not the bucket list, but one of the tracks I always wanted to watch a race at. So we went to that one as a fan. I usually, like at Dover, when I did the show from up in the Philly area, I would work through. I would cover the race for the station and the show particularly, and I would commute every weekend. I was 75 miles away, so it was a little closer. Still a long ride, but it was a 3-day event: Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because they had the truck race in June on Friday nights right after. Qualify, and then Saturday had the Nationwide, Sunday had the Cup. So I'd go back and forth every night. And I'd not stay for the truck race, but I'd get home in time to watch it on TV so I could relax a little bit, because I used to get up at like 4:30 in the morning just to drive to the track.
Right. And speaking of commitments for the sport, how about the race last night with the whole 3-hour rain delay? I mean, it really was, I think, more of a marathon than a race that we had.
That was a marathon. As a matter of fact, when I introed the show before you called it, I had called it a marathon. Were you at that one, or do you fortunately have that night off, this weekend off?
Did I have that weekend off?
Yeah.
I did, and actually I am so bummed I wasn't there for it because, I mean, as we all saw, it really was just surprise after surprise. But I was in Charlotte. I was celebrating Cinco de Mayo, and I was watching it all happen on social media from my Sprint phone. I mean, I have my unlimited data plan, so it's so easy to kind of stay in touch with the track. And at this point, I left the place where I was watching the race. I went to a different place, and we couldn't find it on television. And I'm throwing my fist in the air thinking, no way, I didn't wait 3 hours to not see the end of this race. So I was kind of bummed. I didn't see the finish, but I did, you know, I saw the reactions on Twitter and Facebook and social media, and I was just like, holy cow, I really missed something amazing.
You did, but you didn't. What you did miss, if I think you had went to that, you'd have been so tired that you wouldn't have been able to call me tonight. I mean, I know the Richmond weekend is pretty long. The track's open from 6 a.m. to or midnight, but at least Sunday you're off and you can relax a little bit if you don't have to travel.
Very true, yeah.
Or even if you do have to travel. But figure you would have gotten out of there. So I don't know what entails after at Victory Lane that you have to sit through all the fanfare and all the photographers. If you're there for the whole thing, you would probably be able to...
Well, yeah, I mean, the best part about Victory Lane, of course, is, you know, we do the hat dance, we celebrate for a second, but honestly, after that, we jump in the car and we do our best to avoid traffic and we head back home. So I think it was Jacqueline who was in Victory Lane last night. So I can't even imagine what time they arrived back in, or arrived back in Charlotte. It must have been a pretty late night for her.
Yeah, you'll have to double check with her. Yeah, she was in Victory Lane. You got the Richmond stint, though, so you figure you probably got out later last Saturday night than this past Saturday night.
Do you think I'll have to trade notes with her? I think we might be tied.
Yeah, and then Richmond, it's a long... matter of fact, they even said the track don't open until 10 in the morning, and I actually stayed there until about noon or 1 o'clock. And that was a little different for me traveling and staying at a hotel to go race. When I used to cover Dover, I used to commute, so I knew what time I had to go to bed, and I knew what time I had to get up, and I knew what time I'd be getting home. And so this one was a little different. I had my wife assisting me with the pictures and stuff, and I am a little disappointed. The one of you and I came out dark. It looks like a silhouette. We should have moved out in the light.
Oh, we didn't come out good?
No, I was going to post it on the Miss Sprint Cup page. And see.
Oh, no.
Well,
that just means we have to come
is.
To another race, and that means we have to meet up again, and we have to reshoot that photo. Or next time we're just taking 10 photos all at once, and we're doing a photo shoot together.
That's what
we're going to get. We have to get a good one.
Yeah, and I'd taken one with Kim earlier from the other side, at the center stage where she was doing her thing. Yeah, when I met her earlier, she said you were going to be there later. We took one there, and it came out better, and I feel kind of bummed that ours didn't come out good because you're my Miss Sprint Cup of the Year.
Oh, wait, I am?
Well, yeah, you're the only one who's been on this year.
Oh, you know what? I will take that title and I will wear it like a badge. That's wonderful.
We'll see.
Am I going to lose that if you have Jacqueline on?
Well, not really, because you stepped up to the plate when they first pitched me about having Amos Sprint Cup on at the beginning of the year, and I liked the way we interacted when you were on, so I just kept requesting you. I hope you don't mind. Uh-oh. I lost you. Are you in Vermont again? Here we go.
Hi, I'm so sorry about that. You know, my phone is plugged into the car system. I've got Chris Madigan right now driving, and a call came in, and it knocked me off. So I apologize about that.
That's okay. I thought you were up in Vermont on the landline. It was real windy again.
I know. It's not Vermont this time. But still to this day, I cannot figure out what happened. That was living in the wild, and yes, that was Vermont for you.
I'm surprised I don't lose service around where I'm at here in southwestern Virginia. I'm about 2 hours south of Martinsville, 90 miles north of Bristol. So where I-81 and I-77 join together and becomes confusing. because you got South 81, North 77, and it's all the same road for a little bit. So it's kind of confusing when you go.
Oh, I see. So what are your thoughts about, let's see, how about going into this coming weekend?
Well,
do you have any predictions
weekend.
At all?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I like to make a pick for every race, and I'm just trying to think. I haven't formulated who I like yet. Usually it's somebody that does well there, and right now it's either going to be Jimmy Johnson or Kyle Busch that I'm leaning towards right now for this weekend in Darlington.
Those are supposed to be pretty safe picks, I think, too.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out who's going to manage to stay out of trouble. Darlington, being your first trip there, it's kind of egg-shaped.
Okay.
So one end of the track, the turns are wider than the other end of the track. Now, at one point in time, turns one and two used to be three and four, and now turns three and four are now one and two because they were able to expand the grandstands and be able to get more seats that way.
Okay.
And there's some farmer's pond that they had to work around. That's why it's egg-shaped. So there's always the Darlington stripe there where you come off that tight corner and you always scrape the wall. It doesn't affect too much unless you hit it too hard. And the trick is to race the track and not the competition. It used to be nasty on tires as well. And they did repave it, and it's still pretty abrasive. So I'm figuring one of the it's either going to be a smoother guy like a Jimmy Johnson who can keep himself out of trouble, or maybe a Kyle Busch who's a little crazy and likes to stay up front. And being it's the Southern 500, it's one of the crown jewels of the sport, so that's kind of who I'm going with. But you can't rule out Carl Edwards either. There's another smooth guy. So there, I got a Toyota, a Chevy, and a Ford in the mix. Now, last night at Talladega, I think I'm surprised they actually waited that out as long as they did to get that refired, because they shortened Nationwide race on Saturday because of darkness, and then they had a longer distance to run for the Cup race. Well, seems like we lost Brooke again. Well, so hopefully she'll call back in a second. But anyway,
about that.
That's okay. I figured you had another call come through, so I figured I'll interrupt whoever.
I'm just playing hard to get. What can I say?
That's what happens with you. Pretty young ladies that have to work and have people at your beck and call all the time. I love the way you're working that crowd with that hula hoop competition there.
What was that?
I love the way you were working the crowd with the hula hoop competition.
The hula hoop competition. So as you saw, we play all these fun games every weekend with fans. And the hula hoop contest is one of my absolute favorites. Just little kids involved. We get grown-ups involved. We get everyone and every type of person out there shaking their hips. And you'd be surprised as the folks who end up winning every weekend. I mean, I've seen, like, grown men who you would never think would have a loose bone in their body shake it until they win. I've seen like 5-year-old girls, obviously, who pull it off too. So it's always exciting. And we have really good music play too, and the crowd gets into it, so it's a lot of fun.
It looked like that one kid who won must have been a gymnast or something, because he was doing backflips and everything else.
Yes, you saw him doing backflips. That was amazing. So he, not only did he compete in the Hula Hoop contest, I don't think he won, though. But he ended up being this gymnast who could do backflips. He did one over my head. We have a photo of it. We're saving it for later. It's not on the Miss Spring Cup Facebook page right now, but it's pretty amazing. It's pretty special.
I was wondering, you don't have your own Facebook page, do you?
Who, do I have one?
Yeah, I was looking for it. I couldn't find it.
Oh, there's the Miss Spring Cup Facebook page. That's the best place to find me. I'm not really active on my own Facebook page anymore. It's kind of funny. Like, if you get involved with this role, we have so much communication with our fans that it really is easiest to do it all on the Miss Spring Cup Facebook page or the Twitter page. And I end up checking that as if it was my personal account just because there's so much more interaction going on there. So my own account has kind of just fell by the wayside.
Gotcha. I see.
Yes.
I did find you on the professional site, LinkedIn.
Of course, you have to have your LinkedIn page set up. Absolutely. I think, and I believe that we're friends on there now too, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And I just didn't know if... nobody really uses... I don't know too many people that use that one. I guess that's for official business.
It is. Official business only. Twitter's way more fun.
I don't like to... Yeah, Twitter's more fun. I usually don't go on Twitter, though, because I think, well, my show has a Facebook page that links to my show Twitter page, so whatever I post there goes to the other one anyway. And for me, yeah, I guess I could... One of the people I know are on Facebook as far as, you know, growing up on all that kind of stuff. So I'm usually on that one.
Mm-hmm,
Twitter,
absolutely.
Sometimes I don't know, 140 characters, just not enough space.
Some people love it and some people don't. But personally, I think it's kind of fun to get to challenge yourself to put out a complete thought in that many characters. It's like a little bit of a riddle, I guess you could call it.
That's a good point.
A bit of a puzzle.
And another thing we could touch on, after Darlington, we have the Sprint All-Star Race. So
yes! Yes, the Sprint All-Star Race is something that we're really gearing up for around here. It's such an exciting time because the voting right now is absolutely insane. Fans have been pushing the vote, you know, ever since we announced the entire vote, but right now I think it's 20,000 votes are separating the top 10, I believe, which kind of sounds like a lot, but when you break it down, that's actually 3,000 votes cast per hour, and that only ramps up the closer we get to the date. So who's winning the Sprint All-Star fan vote, and then who's going to be entered into the race is, it's still up in the air right now.
Well, one of the people that would have been either voted in or raced their way in is now in for winning yesterday, David Reagan.
He sure is. How exciting is that?
And it's amazingly his teammate pushed him across the line. So that's pretty awesome for a small team like that with a few cars and being able to take the top two spots.
I know. But, and right now people kind of use that saying with him, it was David versus Goliath or David versus a Goliath. And I like to think that now that he's in the Sprint All-Star Race, if he wins that $2 million, is he really the little guy against the big guy anymore? I don't think so. So my fingers are crossed for him. I'd love to see him take everything come May 18th.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think he had won a Sprint Cup race a few years ago. I know he was in contention when he drove for Roush Fenway to win the Daytona 500, but he changed lanes too early, and Trevor Bayne wound up winning that Daytona 500.
Yes.
If he didn't mess up, that would have been his race. You know, he would have, but then he would have been driving for a Goliath team at the time instead of a David.
So maybe this was perfect timing for him, and it's poetic in a way, and I honestly can't wait to see what happens. But in terms of who's still eligible for the Sprint fan vote, we've got some popular folks up there. There's Danica Patrick, Ricky Sunhouse Jr., Martin Truex Jr., Juan Pablo Montoya. All of those guys are still in the running for the Sprint fan vote. Unless one of them wins this weekend, it's up to the fans to make sure they make their way all the way into the race.
Well, if Dale Jr. is not in it, it's going to come down to the vote. I'll predict it's either going to be him or Danica.
Well, Dale Jr. is already in the race. So that okay. Are you saying that Danica is your vote?
No, I'm not saying she's my vote. I'm saying she's probably, I'm trying to be objective, that she'll probably be the likely fan pick.
I agree with you. I think that a lot of folks are thinking that Danica probably has this vote in the bag. But, I mean, I've been watching on Twitter, and I see so many teams retweeting their fans who have said, I just voted for so-and-so on the NASCAR Mobile 13 app, that I wouldn't be surprised if we end up, you know, if Danica doesn't win with another popular driver or at least being a very tight race to the finish.
Yeah, that's for sure. It all depends on how many they're taking. I think they took two, the top two last year for the to move on to the All-Star race, plus the fan mm-hmm. votes. So if they're taking two, and was AJ Allman. I think A.J. Allmendinger was one of the people that raced their way in, and I know he was lobbying for votes, so was he did the show when we were lobbying to get him some votes, and he wound up racing his way in. So.
Of course. See, and I think it also kind of helps as well. I mean, the drivers who are eligible for this vote, they obviously want to be in this race. It's got one of the biggest prize purses, I believe, of the entire season. But who doesn't want to earn their way in because of how well they drove? So maybe when they get talking about it and they say, oh, you know, my fans, I hope you're voting, it does give them a little bit of a fire to get on the track and possibly earn their way in through their driving.
And that's really and that $2 million prize for the winner, that kind of brings out the competitiveness of the entries. It's always a wild event when it comes down to the final shootout. And ever since... it's been instilled before it became the Sprint All-Star Race. When it used to be the Winston Open at the time, it used to bring out the best and the worst in everybody. And you don't bring a car you want to take home and use in the Coke 600 the week after.
That's so true, yes, absolutely. And now I'm actually kind of curious, while we're on the subject, have you cast your votes yet?
No, I did not, and I have my NASCAR 13 mobile on my app, and I will get in there and do that. I'm not one that likes to vote for a lot of people, so I'll just pick one and then start overloading the circuits like everybody else does going into the race.
Do we get a hint as to who you're voting for?
Let me see.
Pressure's on. How about this? I'll tell you
what
I'm voting for.
I'll
show you my cards first. All right, my vote right now is for Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and only because I feel like Danica's going to possibly have a chance to win, and I think it needs to be a fair fight to the end for the two of them.
I'd like to see a Marcus Ambrose get in there.
Good okay, that's a good one, too.
He always used to be a fun interview when every chance I've had to interview him. It's like, good day, mate. There's going to be a blustery one down here, you know.
I know, with that accent. How can you really, you know, blame me for choosing?
And he's been in the series long enough. And I'd like to see Juan Pablo win on an oval. He pretty much... I thought he was going to get it at Richmond.
I know, so did I. That was a surprising finish. I really thought that he had just won his way in, but, I mean, you never know. It's always so surprising. So I think I'd agree. I'd like to see Juan Pablo Montoya win this as well. So it is tough to choose just one, which is great for fans. If you have, I mean, you obviously have downloaded the NASCAR Mobile 13 app. Fans who haven't, the vote count says double on there. So, you know, vote on there as often as possible until May 18th. And help make your favorite driver eligible to win $2 million. Maybe this will thank you, right?
Yeah, that's May 18th. That's not too far away. It's 2 weeks.
I know. It's so close.
It's going to be here before you know it. And that's,
it sure is.
Of course, that's just because I'm old and time flies when you get older.
Oh, time flies for everyone, believe me.
That's for sure. But, yeah, that's going to be a fun race to watch. I always love watching that one because you thought the wreck at Talladega, the big one. Well, there's a few, but not as bad. But you don't get people airborne like Kurt Busch playing piggyback with Ryan Newman over there for a few thousand feet.
Yes, let's try and keep all four tires on the track.
That's for sure. But anyway, I was just glad to be able to catch up with you after meeting you in Richmond and seeing part of your day, working the crowd. You do have a knack with the fans there. With the excitement in your voice, find yourself getting hoarse at the end of the weekend? Before?
No, not at all. We get used to our voices. They're nice and used to it by now. But before we go, I want to just remind any listeners that, you know, we've been talking about casting your votes on NASCAR Mobile 13, but maybe you don't have a smartphone yet, or maybe you want to upgrade. Right now, Sprint is doing $100 off smartphones, so this is a great time to maybe get that new phone, upgrade. And one of our most popular phones, the Samsung Galaxy S3, that makes that phone absolutely free. So good time to be a race fan, good time to be a Sprint customer.
That's for sure. And guess what? They're coming out with a Galaxy S4 now.
I think it's, yes, and I want to get my hands on one.
Unless you're an iPhone person, that seems to be, everybody seems to go to them, seems to stick with the iPhones. I don't know why.
I have to admit, I'm an iPhone person, but when I had my my Kia Theratorque for a little while, last month I think it was, and I had a lot of fun on that too, so it's tough to just side with you're an Android or an iPhone person. But if you are an Android person, the Samsung is definitely a good choice for you.
That's for sure, because I think that's probably the closest competition as far as functionality to the iPhone, being they stole half iPhone stuff and got sued for it. But that seems to be the major bone of contention. Now, does Sprint also offer Windows phones? That's something I don't know too much about. I like the
That's
Android.
That's a good question. You know, I actually have to get more information on that. And you know what? Next time we talk, I'll give you the answer. How does that sound?
That sounds good. So hopefully you're pretty much where you're going, or are you still in the car?
We are still driving, actually. We're headed to Greensboro to do a little bit of a media tour to talk about nothing else but the Sprint All-Star Race. Like I said, we're eat, breathing, sleeping Sprint All-Star Race right now. It's a lot of fun around here.
Well, let me compliment you on the clarity of your voice coming through, even though we got cut off a couple times.
Yes, well, I'm glad that we got connected again. It's always so much fun talking to you.
Well, and I'm always glad to have you on. And now that I know you have my cell phone number, I have yours. Send me a text every once in a while just to keep it on the off the grid, so to speak, and let me know how much fun you're having down there.
I will. I'll send you the updates.
All righty. You take care, and I'll let you have some fun in Greensboro, and hope you're not too hungover from Cinco de Mayo partying yesterday. And
oh, never. No such thing.
That's you're a hearty country girl from up north when the cold and all right, we'd like to thank you, Brooke Werner, for joining Miss Sprint Cup, for joining us here on Garage Talk Live, and always looking forward to having you on. You bring so much vibrance to the show.
Oh, well, thanks so much for having me. We'll have to catch up again soon.
All righty, you take care now.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. There you have it, Miss Sprint Cup, Brooke Werner. Got to meet her at Richmond last weekend. Fun girls, working her sprint gig, former Miss Vermont, USA, and the race that surprised me yesterday of being restarted. 70 laps to go. Of course, it did come down to a green-white checker finish, and after the wild wreck, that happened there. See, it was David after the long rain delay. There's a 3-hour rain, red flag. Take a look here to bring up the report. Three and a half hour red flag. The final caution came out on lap 184 where it was Newman, Kurt Busch, Mikey Waltrip, Bobby Labonte, 36 car of, I forget it was in the 36 car, Jamie McMurray, Jeff Gordon, Clint Boyer. The wildest part of the wreck was Kurt Busch getting airborne and doing, riding piggyback on top of Newman's car. Newman had a few things to say in the after he came out of the media center, the infield care center yesterday. Question is, he might be fine for those remarks made. But we'll have to see what happens. I haven't heard anything that deemed him, basically he said that somebody has their head up their butt and still hasn't pulled it out yet, even though they can make safer cars and safer tracks. And everybody knows who it was directed at. There were 30 lead changes among 17 drivers. 5 cautions for 31 flags for 31 laps. First one, the biggest one was they dropped the yellow on lap 124. It was past halfway, so it could have been an official race then. Until lap 130 was when we brought back out the yellow with a 3.5 hour rain red flag in there as they kept drying the track off. And they had another storm come in with some hail, a little thunderstorm there. It's a 1/8 inch hail, which isn't really that big as far as a hailstone goes, but it is. It could hurt if it hits you a little bit, like you get hit with needles. And I commend Fox Broadcasting for sticking with it, and they were able to fill the time up pretty good. They had a lot of the drivers. Interviewed Denny Hamlin, his first start back after back surgery, got out after the first caution and went into the pit side studio, which actually was a Hollywood hotel there for Fox. It's Mikey Waltrip, he was running in the race. He actually got out and went into the studio as well until it was time to return to the cars. But all in all, it was a long day. Both races were kind of long. In the end, it was Front Row Motorsports actually finishing on the front row. Was David Ragan driving the 34. He had a good start spot in 19th. David Gilliland with the Love's Travel Stops for the 38 car was second. Carl Edwards in the 99. For third, three Fords, Fords 1, 2, 3. And Mikey Waltrip, who was involved in that big wreck, managed to get through. And I'll finish fourth. Jimmy Johnson was fifth. Reagan Smith, who won Saturday night race, but it wound up running until Saturday night in the Nationwide Series. He wound up winning that. Because of the caution coming out, and he was in the lead when the caution did come out. Truex was seventh. Matt Kenseth, who looked like it was going to be his day, he dominated the race. Led 8 times for 142 laps, but final pit stops and positioning, and he wound up Eighth, Scott Speed, a good run for him. The 95 car finished ninth. Eric Almirola, the Gwaltney Ford, was 10th. Jeff Gordon was 11th. 12th was David Stremme. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was 13th. 14th was Marcus Ambrose. And 15th was Brad Keselowski. And the points right now, as they sit after the race yesterday, pending fines and penalties, Jimmy Johnson right now holds down the top spot still. Has a 41-point lead over Carl Edwards. Dale Jr. is third, 59 back. Clint Boyer is fourth, 67 back. Brad Keselowski is at fifth. He's 69 back, but I still think he'd have been a lot closer to the front if he didn't get penalized 25 points. Penalties that were upheld. Sixth, Casey Kane, who was involved in the first wreck with Kyle Busch. Seventh is Eric Almirola. Eighth, Paul Menard. Ninth, Kyle Busch. And tenth is Greg Biffle. Right now, the wild card spots are open with Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick in them. Kenseth having a couple wins pretty much lock him into the wild. He should wind up in the top 10 before the season's out, so I wouldn't really worry too much about it. If you want to give us a call, numbers 646-649-1899 here on Blog Talk Radio. And you're listening to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Also in action today, Saturday was the Nationwide Series. And Reagan Smith, won the race Saturday. And holding off Joey Logano and Casey Kane as they crossed three wide there. They did wind up giving second place to Joey. I had it as Casey Kane second and Joey Logano third. Either way, they came across the line three wide. But as the yellow came out, it was Reagan Smith had an edge, and it looked like it was on Joey Logano, on that Casey Kane, who was a little bit further up than Joey Logano, but being the field is frozen as the yellow came out. The white flag had already thrown, so as the yellow came out, the field was frozen right then and there, and it was before the start-finish line. So it was a photo finish, even though it was stopped a little early. Kurt Busch having a good day as well. Justin Allgaier was fifth. Parker Kligerman sixth. Seventh was Mike Wallace. Jason White was eighth. Jeremy Clements ninth. And Austin Dillon was 10th. Points-wise, Sam Hornish getting the big one, I guess, a little earlier on. Was involved in a wreck where there were 16 leaders, 47 lead changes. A lot of lead changes in the Nationwide Series. Seven cautions for 29 laps. The big one happened about the 94 lap mark and involved Johanna Long, the two car of Ryan Scott, the six of Trevor Bayne, the 23, the 12, the 85, 12 of Sam Hornish was in there. He tried to duck, I guess, beneath Johanna and sucked some air off. I don't know, they come together there, so he shot in the Brian Scott, turned him up in front of Johanna, and there was that big pile up there, and then that involved about a dozen cars there, and that was in turn three. And Johanna Long was primed to make her second top 15, almost top 10 run there. They only needed to go to lap 110. But, of course, a rain delay ensued for that, plus all the accidents. So it was running late. They actually didn't have a rain delay during the race, as far as noted on caution flags. But a 3-hour rain delay prior set them in tight to the daylight window. And Talladega not having much of not having any lighting, racing in the dark. Now, the Izod IndyCar Series was down in Brazil, and I was able to interview one of the competitors driving in that race. And that would have been Tristan Vautier driving for Schmidt Peterson Motorsports. And I was able to interview him on Wednesday. So here's my interview with Tristan as he got ready and prepared for the San Paolo Indy 300 and his thoughts on gearing up for the Indy 500.
Hi, this is Vince Bonfigli, and joining me is Izod in our series rookie this year, Tristan Vautier from France. I don't want to mispronounce the town you're from, so I won't butcher that. Sorry about that. And it's your rookie season in the IndyCar series, three starts on the road. I guess the big thing you're going down to is São Paulo, Brazil, for the race this weekend.
Yes, exactly. Leaving this afternoon, yeah.
First time there. Is it anything that you're kind of used to, I guess, running St. Petersburg as a street course, São Paulo being a street course as well? You all set to, I guess, hit the track for practice and qualify?
Yes, we'll see. It will be very new for me. I don't know track, never run it in any car, so I try to watch some videos and try to run the track, get ready to learn the track as quickly as I can. I'm on it for real, and work with the team, ask a few more questions than usual, you know, about that, about the track, because they know way more than me, and hopefully I can get on it and run quickly. It's a street course. Every street course is different. It seems like it's pretty bumpy, lots of 90-degree corners, so people say similar to St. Petersburg, so we'll see, and hopefully we'll do it.
I guess the major thing going from either from a street course to an actual road course where the track is all nice and smooth is being able to handle the bumps. Is the suspension of the Indy car designed for that kind of adjustment?
Yes. It's it's really tricky, especially this year on new tires compound. So some of the stuff that was working last year doesn't. So it's always very tricky to adapt. Sometimes you roll up the trailer really well. Sometimes you don't, and then there's a lot of work ahead, but as a driver, your input is very important to try and guide the team in the right direction, and sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't, so that's what makes it exciting.
I guess it's all set up, and you'll be taking the green flag about 11. Oh, it's a morning race up here. I don't know what the time differential is in São Paulo, but hopefully it's a little later in the afternoon for you. And being this, then from there, you guess you go back to Indianapolis for orientation, and you get to prepare for the rest of the month for the Indianapolis 500. How's that going to be for you? You all excited about that one?
Yeah, very excited. Honestly, we've been so busy with the start of the season and the first race that we've not actually thought about it, about Indy too much, and it's going to come quicker than we think. I mean, is the biggest race of the season. I'm incredibly excited because it's been many years. I've seen the race live for the first time in 2010, and I had goosebumps at the three-race show and at the start. So, from that day on, I have to do that race one day, and I'm going to. So it's going to be really it's going to be really awesome to be in the car on race day for the pre-race show and the start. It's hard to picture it when you think about it. So I'm really looking forward to it. But at the moment, we're very focused on the very next thing, which is reveal.
Well, in three starts, you have one top 10. Driving against some of the best guys in the world, with Dario, Franchitti, Scott Dixon, Elio Castroneves, Tony Kanaan. How does it feel going up against some of these guys, and does it get you, how motivated does it get you to want to finish ahead of them?
I don't really pay attention to who I race against, even though I have enormous respect for all the drivers and a lot of admiration for what many of them have accomplished. Once I'm in the car, you don't think about who you're racing against. I think if you do so, and you start thinking about everything they've accomplished, then that is very easy to put yourself in an inferior position in a way. So it doesn't motivate me more or less who I'm racing against, because I really try to, in a way, race against myself. I really was trying to focus on what I can improve regarding myself and then see where it puts me. I concentrate my effort position wise after the top 10, top 5 or this. I just too much. I just focus on myself and you guys do this and that to become better, and then I see where it puts me. So this approach makes me not focus too much on all other people around me.
So you're more of a race to track as opposed to race to competition driver?
Yeah, we could say that.
This ninth, and most of the time it's the track that winds up being the cause of, problems or when you're driving as opposed to the competition, even though sometimes you have to watch out for their mistakes as well. Any difference that you've noticed in the cars coming up from the Indy Lights series to the Indy Car series?
Well, obviously, differences in the car are way more downforce on the Indy car. It brakes later, brakes stronger, more power. It's harder to extract lap time out of the car. I think the main difference is actually the work you have to do outside of the car. The weekends are way busier because the debriefs are way longer. I work with the engine engineers. It's way more technical with your chassis engineer. And then you have more PR work. And, basically, you're really running around on a weekend. And then you still have to be focused and deliver when you get in the car. So I think that's where the test is for me, try to adapt my routine to busy weekends. And so that's where I really felt the main difference. And then, obviously, in the races, there is so much that you have to put together and so much that has to fall into place to get a result, because the races are longer. There are more pit stops, more restarts, so more occasions to have things to either, make up time or have things go your way or make mistakes or have things go not your direction. So it's... it just takes way more to get a result.
That's for sure, and that seems to... Do you find your driving style to be more of a patient driver or aggressive driver?
It's tough to say. I try to really adapt it to the situation. Sometimes I can be too aggressive. Sometimes I can be too patient. So it's very difficult to say. I guess it seems that people around me, maybe they would...
I guess aggressive when you need to be. If you're up front on the restart, you want to get the jump and leave the competition behind so you got some clean racetrack ahead of you. And I guess if you're stuck behind a few people, you got to be a little more patient until you get the opportunity to pass. Am I right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I think to be the right driver, you have to adapt to the situation, right?
Now, in the Indy Lights, you've driven on both road and oval. Do you find it easier to pass on the road courses or the ovals?
It's funny because it's a tricky question because it really depends on which song and which one first. For instance, I'd say, let me think back. It's for sure easier to pass on a track like Indy or Fontana than on a track like Barber Motorsport Park, but it might be easier to make a pass in Long Beach than on the Milwaukee Oval, where you really struggle following another car. So it's a very tricky situation, but I would say usually the places where it's easiest to pass are in these ovals.
Because you have more room and a lot more time. Do you find that the...
More draft, yeah.
Yeah, and more draft, too, because you get the chance to run high RPM there and suck up in tight and be able to slingshot.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, do you find that the longer ovals are more boring? I mean, you figure you ride around for, let's say, 200
actually,
laps per miles.
No, actually, I mean, you ride. Obviously, everything was slower, so there's a bit more dead time, but it's never boring at this kind of speed because you're always busy looking for something, right? But in the IndyCar, even in the big oval, I mean, after especially Texas, but if you will actually big oval, I think, and it's not boring at all because the car just goes so fast and you have so much to anticipate that you're not bored at all because it's a lot of work, even if on the outside, it might look easy. It's not easy at all.
Especially when you, like on a big oval like Fontana, where you go, Indy cars are narrow, so you can get 5-6 wide on that track. It probably gets a little crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, now you're making you got the jump. You had, what, 3 straight road courses, and then from there, you don't even go to a small oval. You go right to test for Indy, you know, practice and qualify for Indianapolis. How do you like driving for Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports? Sam Schmidt, been an owner for many years, and prior to that, a driver. And I had the pleasure of interviewing him some years ago on my other radio show. So I know that it's a quality individual. How does it feel to be in that kind of equipment?
It's just great. I mean, the whole team is amazing. There's a great energy in the whole organization. I really get along with everyone. I have an amazing engineer in Aaron McDonald, but all the other guys are really all good, obviously. It's great to have two owners like Sam and Rick. Sam, because of all the values he represents, and he's a great person. He knows the sport incredibly well, and our other team owner, Rick Pearson, who maybe is not as known as Sam at the moment because he became co-owner of the team for this season only, but he's also an amazing person that will for sure become more and more popular as people get to meet him because he's a very nice and interesting guy. So it's very good to have two great owners like that. And I think they have a real gift for choosing the right people and getting the right people on board the team to create a great organization. So I think as a rookie, I couldn't have fallen into a better place.
That's good because you have that kind of chemistry around you. It helps you in the long run as well.
Yeah, sure.
Now, is your teammate Simone giving you a few pointers upcoming for Indianapolis?
Yeah, we've not talked about Indy, honestly, yet. But Simone is great. We get on very well. We're sort of both for the same country, even though we have to speak English in the deliveries. We get on really well. He has a lot of experience and he's very talented, very fast, so it's very good for me to have a teammate like him, especially being a rookie when you need a benchmark. I mean, I couldn't have anyone better than him, and he's a great guy. We get on really well. Managed to share a lot of information and work together and try to cross the information and feedback to try and bring the whole team further up. So that's really good to be working with him.
Well, that's good to have somebody like that that can say, well, you know, you got to break here, go into the corner here, upshift there, run to hit the pass button
yeah.
and all that.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Because being Indianapolis, a tough place for rookie drivers, and usually, especially at the end when things get a little hairy there.
So, yeah,
Because when the trophy and the money's on the line, it brings out the... I guess the craziness out of everybody.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, Tristan, I'd like to thank you for taking some time out of your day to spend with me, and good luck this weekend in San Paolo, and if you get a chance, enjoy some time down there. Here, it's a good party spot.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye now.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
There you have it, Tristan Vautier, IZOD IndyCar driver, rookie of the year, down in São Paulo, Indy Brazil 300. James Hinchcliffe won the event, beating Takuma Sada. Marco Andretti was third. Tristan wound up 16th, finished ahead of Scott Dixon, Tony Kanaan, and a few of the other guys I mentioned in the interview, actually. Castro Neves was 13th. Oral Servier was 4th. Joseph Newgarden was 5th. DJ Vizo, 6th. Dario Franchitti was 7th. Simona DiSilvestro, 8th. Good run for her. She's running real well this year, getting some better equipment, I guess. Simone Pagnot, who is Tristan's teammate. I guess didn't give him too many pointers down there, finishing 9th. Charlie Kimball was 10th. Ryan Hunter-Reay was 11th. Alex Tagliani, 12th. Like I said, 13th was Castro Neves. 14th was Sebastian Bourdais, and 15th was J.R. Hildebrand as well. In IndyCar points, right now you have Takuma Sato in first. Second is Marco Andretti holding with the 100. Let's see. Sato for AJ Foyt Enterprises, 136 points in a win. Marco Andretti, second in points, 123 points. Third with 116 points is Elio Castroneves for Team Penske. James Hinchcliffe for Andretti Autosport has two wins and 112 points. So there's your three winners in your first three races. It's two for Hinchcliffe. Sato has one. So now it's on to Indy. The rest of the top five in points. Fifth place for Target, Chip Ganassi at 101 points is Scotty Dixon. So there you have the Indy wrap-up. Tristan Vautier, my guest. And I hope you enjoyed Brooke Werner. I guess I better get on my... NASCAR Mobile 13 app and vote for my pick for the fan vote in the Sprint All-Star Race. You got until the 18th to do that, or you can go to NASCAR.com and just click on the link there for Sprint All-Star Race voting and go there. It registers as two votes if you do it on the mobile app, and only one if you go to the website. So hopefully if you have the smartphone, you get your vote counted as twice. So this weekend we got Darlington coming up, Mother's Day weekend. They don't run on Sunday. The race is Saturday night. Nationwide will be Friday night. So in case you're all wondering...
That race goes off at 6:45 for the green flag on Fox this Saturday night. And the Nationwide Series will be Friday night on ESPN2 at 7:30. At Darlington as well, the track Too Tough to Tame, the Lady in Black. And the Truck Series won't be back again until the 17th, which is a Friday night at Charlotte, before the Sprint All-Star Weekend, which comes up after that. So that's our show for tonight. Hope everybody enjoyed it. We'll see you all next week. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You're listening to Garage Talk Live. Tune in every Monday from at 8 o'clock. We'll start working on some guests for next week, and we'll see you then. Good night and good racing.